name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Well, as we shared with Harry and Edward, it's the last Sunday of Advent, the Sunday when we light the fourth candle before lighting the white candle on Christmas Day this coming Saturday. The prophets of old, who foretold the coming of the Messiah, the one who would bring light and peace to the world, these prophets of old now draw breath. The earth quietly rotates on its axis, a tiny, insignificant planet in the vast, incalculable galaxies. And a child in an inauspicious backwater takes shape in a young girl's body. A girl who appears nothing more than yet another betrothed girl, awaiting the time when she'll join her husband. A girl whose world is about to change forever, and our world will change forever. A child takes shape, warm and protected. And the earth quietly rotates on its axis, a tiny, insignificant planet in the vast, incalculable galaxies. Two affectionate cousins spend time together, one much older and one young, in a lovely intergenerational way that's as old as the hills. Mary and Elizabeth, both pregnant, both amazed at what God is doing with them. The older, remarkable woman, the wife of a priest. The younger, a girl insignificant and powerless. And in these women, in some far-flung place, is the border between longed-for hope and the fulfillment of God's purposes for the whole of humanity. Elizabeth, once shamed for being childless and now overjoyed at the opportunity of having a child, greets her cousin warmly. Her unborn child John leaps for joy when Mary arrives, having travelled about 80 miles. And Elizabeth herself makes the very first statement by a human being that Mary's child is Lord. Why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? A child leaping for joy. The word leaping in the whole of Scripture means I am now in the presence of God. And in recognizing the special truth about Mary, Elizabeth greets her young cousin with the words, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." It's a guttural, joyful cry from the heart, from one who knows that this cousin is the God-bearer, the mother of the one who will bring peace to the world, carrying inside her the one who will completely overthrow the status quo and change people's hearts forever. And the earth quietly rotates. In this moment, I imagine Mary and Elizabeth sitting on rough wooden chairs, eating bread dipped in oil, looking at each other, holding hands, laughing together, shaking their heads and laughing some more, reaching out and putting their hands on each other's tummies where the divine and human meet, and sharing thoughts about what is to come. Elizabeth sharing about her first 6 months of pregnancy, backache, increased tiredness, the wonder of it all, and Mary asking question after question, all the time reflecting on what it really means to carry the hope of the world. And in this very, very strange moment, trusting God implicitly. And the earth quietly rotates and waits. Bubbling up in Mary are songs she would have known so well, the songs of Moses and Deborah, of Miriam and Asaph, and especially Hannah, all ancient figures responding to God with songs of celebration. Bubbling up inside her are the Psalms, especially Psalm 113, to which she refers. It's as though Mary can't contain her joy, and she draws on Scripture to express this. Mary's determined to give voice to what is true. She speaks or sings to Elizabeth, not to the whole world initially, but to Elizabeth in their little room, beautiful words of praise that echo out of their room into every corner of the earth. The song we know is the Song of Mary, or Mary's Canticle, or the Magnificat. Magnificat anima mea Dominum, et exalta vit spiritus meus in Deo salutare meo. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. My very being responds to God, every fibre of me, all of me exalts God. And just as Elizabeth's unborn child leaps for joy when Mary arrives carrying the Holy Child, Mary herself rejoices in God her Saviour. This isn't the language of meekness or fear or trepidation. It's confident and gutsy and mighty. Her listening to God isn't naive. She's in a precarious situation. Mary's young, as yet not living with her husband. She's poor. She's on the cusp of serious social odium. Like anyone, then or now, carrying a child when life is hard, really hard, is dangerous. Mary's acutely aware of her circumstances. Yet nevertheless, deep within her is this unshakable faith in God. Her song is a prophetic song about God, who God is in her life. Who can't be profoundly moved by this response to God, by this young woman? Mary sings not of herself alone. God's plans are not just for her, but for the world. It's a song of liberation. It's a radical celebration of what God has already done for Israel and will continue to do for the world by bringing justice and hope into the world, especially to the poor, the hungry, the outcast, the refugee, the weary single parent, the drug addicted, the homeless, the imprisoned. Hope isn't theoretical but practical. Being people of hope means we give hope to others that life can get better and that they are not alone. All of God's goodness for the world is fulfilled in the child Mary is carrying. It's as though her child in utero is listening attentively to his mother's voice, because Mary's song is echoed in Jesus' beloved Beatitudes. Mary's song belongs to her ancestors, and it belongs to the child she will nurture. It belongs to you and me, to all of us. It's ancient and it's new. In this still point of these two pregnant women, these tender and strong women, earthiness and everlastingness merge. This tenderness and strength and earthiness and everlastingness will also define Jesus and his ministry and his death on a cross and his resurrection. Mary, his mother, will be there throughout, experiencing all the joy and grief of a loving mother. but for now she waits, and the earth waits. Mary stays with Elizabeth for 3 months, her first trimester, then returns home and waits for the birth of her child. I wonder what leaps up within us now as we close off Advent and look for the coming of the child. What really stirs within us? How will we respond to Mary's song and the joy of Christ's birth? What song will we sing? And in this season of Christmas where so many people will do without, how will we respond to Mary's confidence that God will lift up the broken and feed the hungry with good things? Meister Eckhart, the 14th century German mystic, said, "We are all mothers of God, for God is always needing to be born." As we enter the last few days of Advent, waiting for the coming of the Christ child, someone else waits. The God of the vast, incalculable galaxies also waits to be born. Born of a young woman in a little town within the human family. The very one about whom the prophet Micah says, "He shall be great to the ends of the earth," quietly waits. So we will wait together for the light of the world to be born.